You're listening to guest speaker Brian Darrow, speaking at Beach Cities Community Church in Huntington Beach, California. Beach City's mission is helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally through teaching and preaching through the Bible, the Word of God.
So we are back with part two of the Unseen Battle. Okay, now we're talking about spiritual warfare. I hope you remember your notes. The first part was given in April of 2013. So it's been some time. But we're talking about spiritual warfare. And so if you're new here, if it's your first time to church, or maybe you're just exploring this faith called Christianity, or maybe you're thinking of bringing somebody new in the next few weeks, go ahead and bring them. You know, there was a recent survey that was done that says that upwards of 7 out of 10 people believe in the spirit world or have had some sort of connection or experience with the spirit world. Pretty interesting, huh? Here's another interesting fact. Out of those people, only 2% believe it has anything to do with demons. Crazy. See, it may be surprising to some of you to realize and to know that the Bible says that this world system is actually ruled by an evil power, namely Satan. In fact, in John, it says that Satan is the ruler of this world. And in Corinthians, it says that Satan is the god of this world. It also says that he is the prince of the power of the air. And so the fact of the matter is that we are fighting and waging a war. There's a war being waged all around us. And we're going to be camped in these verses in Ephesians chapter 6 for the next 4 weeks. So let's go ahead and open there and get to them. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, and with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Let's pray. Father, as we dive into this subject, Lord, we first want to pray for the person that's searching. Or as they hear about these spiritual things, Lord, my prayer would be that they would understand that there is a war waging, being waged for their soul. Lord, that as they come and they hear these messages from your word, I pray that they would understand how much you love them and how much you want a relationship with them. So much so that you sent your son to die for them. And then, Father, for the rest of us, I pray that you would give us clarity. Give me clarity in what I say, and give the hearer clarity in what they hear. And I pray, Father, that we would be thoroughly equipped to fight this battle that we cannot see. And so we ask for your spirit to be here this morning, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so it's clear from this passage that there is a world, there is an unseen world that is very real, right? It's very clear here, but it's also very clear that we fight against an unseen enemy. Now, the problem is that we are waging a war against an enemy that we cannot see. Has anybody ever walked into a spider web that they cannot see? Have you ever done that? Have you ever looked really stupid doing that, right? You're just walking along and can you imagine somebody's looking at you? Sometimes we walk into things, and that's kind of like the spiritual battle. We walk into things, and if we're not prepared and we're not equipped, then we kind of look foolish. We kind of get caught. Have you ever felt powerless when you encounter a situation that comes into your life quickly and unexpectedly, and you feel powerless? Have you ever felt helpless? Well, there was a while, I used to like to body surf years ago, decades ago, okay? I'll date myself a little bit. When I was in high school, I used to love to body surf, and when the waves got big, I would really like, I mean, not too big, they were about 8 to 10 feet this one day, and sometimes we would go down to the wedge, but the wedge gets pretty crowded, so I used to go to this place called A Street, and it's right by the Balboa Pier, and I go, and the waves are kind of shore break, which means they break closer to shore there. And I went out this one day after being in the sun all day long. A typical high schooler is having so much fun that I haven't been eating, haven't been drinking, you know, just playing around. And I get into the water, I put my fins on, and I'm body surfing, I'm loving it. I'm just having a great time. And then I see this set coming, this big set of waves coming, and it's a monster set. So I start to, when a set comes in, the waves usually tend to break a little bit farther out because they're bigger. So I start to swim out to the wave, and all of a sudden, my right calf cramps up. And I'm in the water, and you guys know when your calf, if anybody's had a cramp in their calf, I mean, that'll wake you up out of a dead sleep, right? You jump up, ah! But my calf cramped up in the water while I was swimming. So now I'm debilitated. Oh no, you know, and this wave's coming at me. Then my other calf cramps up, and I'm bobbing in the water like a buoy. I'm like, oh, you know, trying to gasp for breath. So I figured, what am I going to do? I'm completely helpless. I'm just going to let this wave crash over me. And that's what it did. It crashed over me, and I'm tossing and turning and trying. I thought I was going to die. I was unprepared for it. So the next wave comes and crashes on me, and I finally get sucked up into the beach where, you know, the water's pretty, the current's pretty strong there, and I'm crawling up the beach like a seal, you know. Oh, people are walking by looking at me. What's wrong with this guy? I was completely helpless. I was unprepared. I didn't have the nourishment in me. And see, the Bible says we are called to stand and stand firm, right? We have our shield, we have our sword. And the idea there is Paul's looking at this soldier that he's chained to, and he's standing firm, not giving up the ground. That's what we're called to do, to stand firm. And so that's what we're going to talk about in the next 3 weeks after this, the armor of God, how we can defend ourselves, and how we can go on the offense with the offensive weapons he provides us. But today, we're going to talk about how this spiritual battle directly affects you and I. And the first thing is that we can be affected physically at times. Look at this passage in Luke chapter 13. Jesus encounters a woman. And a woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and could not straighten up at all. And when Jesus saw her, he called her forward and said to her, "Woman, you are set free from your infirmity." And then he put his hands on her, and immediately she straightened up and praised God. You see, the first thing, at times, we can actually be affected physically in our bodies or in the physical circumstances around us by spiritual forces. Now, this doesn't mean by any means that all disease or all infirmities are directly related to spiritual causes. We live in a fallen world, and those things happen because this world is broken by sin. Okay, but we can be affected at times spiritually, physically. In fact, it even happens to godly people in the Bible. We see it in the story of Job. We see it also in the life of Paul. In fact, Paul says here in 2 Corinthians that I was given a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Okay, now the good news is, for those that are Christians, for those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, God promises that all things work together for good to those that love God and are called according to his purpose, right? So even in the life of Paul, he admits, he says, God didn't heal me from this ailment so that I would remain humble and I wouldn't be conceited. Okay? So sometimes it can affect us physically. But here's what I want to key on this morning. We are affected sometimes physically. We are affected in our mind all the time. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10 with me. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. In other words, we don't use weapons like guns and shields and politics. But we have different weapons. He says the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought. Which thoughts? Every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Has anybody had a thought lately? Yes, we've all had thoughts, right? See, the truth is that there's a violent, unrelenting, even unfair battle that is happening all around us because Satan does not fight fair. Constantly in our minds. But see, Paul says we are to destroy those strongholds. Well, then you want to ask, well, what's a stronghold if I'm supposed to destroy it? So let's look at that. What is a stronghold? In the Greek, it really means a strong military fortification or a fortress. It's like the enemy drives a stake and he says, I'm building my castle here. This is where I make my last stand. This is where I go when they push me back, right? When an enemy will send out a group of soldiers and they get beat on the battlefield, they'll retreat and they'll retreat back to their stronghold, where they can't be taken over. And this is where Satan, the enemy, makes his claim. He says, I will stand here and I will fight from here. And in this contest, it's really a mental block. And so there's two main ones that we're going to talk about here, general ones that everything kind of flows into. And the first one is this. Stronghold number one is a worldview that is contrary to the gospel or the Bible. And this is actually in context what Paul is talking about right here in this passage. He's talking about opponents and false gospel, the false apostles preaching a false gospel. But look at this interesting verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 25. It says that opponents, Paul's talking about the same thing here in his letter to Timothy, opponents must be gently instructed, opponents to our worldview, to the gospel message, in the hope that God will grant them repentance, leading them to a knowledge of the truth, and that they will come to their senses and escape the what? Trap of the devil. Did you know that the people that are opposed to the gospel message, the reason we don't argue with them and berate them and belittle them and try to tell them that our way is right and you're wrong and how could you believe that way? It's because they're ensnared by the devil. It says that clearly here. And it says, who has taken them captive to do his will. And this is why we gently instruct. So this could be atheism, Darwinism, Gnosticism there in Timothy. Any ism that's contrary to the gospel. Well, stronghold number two, and I think which would really apply to you if you're here in church, is this. It's a personal attitude. Fear. Guilt. Anxiety. Anger. Unforgiveness. Addiction or dependence. Lust, doubt, depression, negativity, insecurity, pride, self-hatred, and the list goes on and on and on. Have you ever felt trapped in one of these? Look at that list again. Does something maybe jump out at you? Maybe it's nobody else knows, but maybe it's between you and God. Maybe you have great fear in your life, or maybe you have anxious thoughts all the time, and you feel alone in those. You know, I never knew there were so many hurting people. That's a statement that I told my wife a couple years into ministry. I've been in ministry now about 15 years, but a few years into ministry, I came home from a winter retreat, a high school winter retreat that I led. And I came and told my wife, I never knew there was so many hurting people. You see, on that winter retreat, we were having a worship time, and I asked this question, what has been the hardest thing that you've had to deal with in your life? And I was absolutely brokenhearted when I started to hear these stories of these kids. One kid would say, I hate myself. One kid would say, I'm constantly tempted to hurt myself. One kid would say, I can't trust people. One kid would say, I was left on a street corner when I was 5. One kid would say, I was in high school and my parents left one day and never came back until I got evicted out of my apartment. And so now they had these strongholds of addiction or fear or doubt or a lack of self-worth. And from a young age, Satan has built a stronghold in their life. And I was weeping hearing these stories. And as a pastor, you hear these stories over and over and over again. But Paul says that we are to take every thought captive. And that Greek word there is eikmolatizo. I have a software program, and it says eikmolatizo. Teaches me how to pronounce it. Now I got to say that every time. Eikmolatizo. But it means to gain complete control over, to conquer, or to bring into complete submission. This is the idea that thought comes in and we take complete control over it. I used to wrestle a lot with my buddy when I was in high school. He was a football player, but we used to, all over his house, we'd like break things. We're throwing each other WWE style, right? One time he would throw me over this couch and I would be wedged in between the couch and the wall, stuck, hopeless, helpless. I was under his complete mercy. And that's what the idea is there. You take it complete captive. You bring it into submission. Now here's the problem. I don't know about you guys, but my mind tends to think a lot of things. My mind wanders quite a bit. Does yours? I mean, there's times when I'm anxious. There's times when I doubt. There's times when I have some fear. I want you to take note of what the Bible says about the mind. Throughout the Bible, it describes the mind here, and it says, this is what the mind is. Confused, anxious, closed, evil, restless, rash, deluded, troubled, depraved, sinful, dull, blinded, corrupt. How's that resume? Can you imagine going into a job interview? Yeah, well, tell me a little bit about yourself. Well, I'm anxious a lot, evil, deluded, corrupt, dull, blinded. Can I get a second interview? This is what the Bible says we are. And I don't want to offend anybody right now, but look, we're all mentally ill. All of us. We all are mentally ill, and it's a thing called sin. And we are constantly battling this. We have an amazing ability to lie to ourselves, don't we? In fact, in Jeremiah, it says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. And we can't even believe what we think ourselves. We can lie to ourselves. I can do this one more time. It's not going to affect me. You know, I know I struggle with alcoholism, but I can just keep a couple bottles of wine in my cupboard. It's no big deal. I'm not going to be tempted. That's for my wife. Right? I'm good looking. We can lie to ourselves quite a bit. So the question is, if Paul says that we need to destroy these strongholds and take my loss here, my Britney Spears mic, not doing too well. So he says to destroy these strongholds and take captive the thoughts, but the question is, how do we do this? If our mind is like this, how do we win the battle for our minds? There's two ways here, and the first is we need to use the weapons of our warfare. Paul says that we don't fight against flesh and blood, and it says we don't use the weapons that the world uses, but our weapons are divine. In other words, they're from God, and they're godly, and they have the power to destroy the stronghold. And so what are the weapons of our warfare? Okay, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. This is the message, the fourth message in the series. Okay, how to pray and what to say. We're going to go over this in detail, but it's too important to skip over right now, right? The first one is prayer, and it's communicating with God. God is the source of power. He is the one that gives us the power to win the battle of our mind, which means we need to be in constant communication with him. And the second thing is the word of God. And this Greek word is machaira. And it means a small sword, like a jabbing sword, which means the spoken word of God. That you would know the word of God so much so that when that spiritual battle, you can actually speak the word of God as Jesus did when he was being tempted. So the weapons of our warfare is prayer, communication with God, and to speak the word of God in those moments. But the second thing is renewing our mind. In Romans chapter 12, verse 2, it says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I took this little snip from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. It says this because I loved it. The key to this change or this transformation is the mind, the control center of one's attitudes, thoughts, feelings, and actions. As one's mind keeps on being made new by the spiritual input of God's word, prayer, and Christian fellowship, his lifestyle keeps on being transformed. Now listen to this. It's what we put into our mind, what we think about, that dictates how we live. See, how we think determines how we go. You've never sinned without first thinking about it first. See, because our thoughts lead to our attitudes. They determine our attitudes. And our attitudes determine our actions. Every sin starts with a thought. And how we think determines where we go. You know, I was back when I was quite young, probably about 10 or 11, possibly 12 years old, my friend was from Germany. His parents were from Germany, and they were avid skiers. And we had this big hill that was overlooking the bluffs where we lived. Big grass hill. But there was one tree. One tree in the middle of this hill. And he created these things called grass skis. And so what he'd do, he'd take the ski bindings, and he would put them on these, it almost looked like tank tracks. And they had these tracks on them each side, and they would ski down this grass hill. And it would look great. It looked so much fun. And so one day I went over there, and he said, hey, would you like to try that? I said, yes, I'd love to try that. That looks so cool. And so I strapped these things on. I put a pair of these ski boots on, and we clicked into the bindings, and I get up to the top of the hill. You know what I was thinking? Don't hit the tree. That's all I have to, just don't hit the tree. Don't hit the tree. Don't hit the tree. That's all I was thinking about, okay? I could have closed my eyes and not hit the tree. I mean, that's how vast it was, and there was one tree, right? So, of course, I start going, don't hit the tree. Don't hit the tree. Don't hit the tree. Why am I veering towards a tree? Why am I going towards a tree? Don't hit the tree. Don't. Bam! Slam right into the tree. Why? It was just in my mind. I could not get the tree out of my mind. So I hit the tree. Golfers do this all the time on water holes, don't they? You'll never hit it over there unless there's water. We get it in our minds. And that's what happens. How we think determines where we go. And so what do we think about? That's the question. What do we replace those thoughts with? What do we think about? If we're deceiving ourselves constantly, what do we think about? Great news about the Bible is that it gives us the answer straightforward, okay? In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, then think about these things." Now let's break this down a little bit. Here's the practical application for today. If there's a battle waging war over your mind, constantly around you, an unrelenting battle, if this battle's going on, and we're to take every thought captive and bring it subject to Christ or obedient to Christ. The picture there is we're taking this thought like a prisoner. We're taking it captive. And it was under the influence of the enemy. But now we're bringing it under the influence of our God, Jesus Christ. But yet our heart is deceitfully wicked. So how are we going to do that practically on a practical level? Okay, so what I want to do here is when we go through this list, I'm going to give you a question that you can kind of interrogate your thoughts with for each one of these things that we're supposed to, each one of these qualities that we're supposed to think about. And the first is this: whatever is true. And the question is this true or is it a lie? Does this match up to what God says? See, we start to lose the battle when we start to believe lies. And the second thing is whatever is honorable. This word means worthy of respect. How do I think about others? That's really the idea. Am I thinking in a way that is honoring to them or dishonoring to them? See, we'll start to lose the battle when we think poorly of others. Whatever is just. This word means righteous. Is this the right thing to do? This thought that I'm having, is it the right thing to do or is it the wrong thing? And we start to lose the battle when we contemplate doing the wrong thing. Whatever is pure. And this has to do with morally or sexually proper. Is my thought morally or sexually pure? Is what I'm thinking pure in my mind? Whatever is lovely. You know, I like to say that wholesome beauty creates worship. And it's why I love to take walks. When I go to pray, I love to walk around my neighborhood and I walk a half mile up the street and I go over overlooking the bluffs and I can see the bay and it creates worship in me. It creates a gratitude in me. That just the beauty of what I'm looking at. You too, honey. When I look at my wife, I oh, worship God. When she looks at me, she worships God. No. Right? Do you? But am I thinking about something that stirs up worship in me? Does this thought, does it stir up gratitude and worship of God? Or is it something that there's no way I'm worshiping God because of this thought? Can you see now how your thoughts won't last very long through this list? Whatever is commendable, would I be commended for thinking this or doing this or saying this? My life stinks. Oh, that's very commendable. That's a great thought, right? Well, that lady gave me extra change, but she won't know. She didn't know. I don't think anybody's going to know. It's not that bad, right? It's kind of a hassle to go bring back the extra $5 she gave me. That's a very commendable thought. Is it commendable? If somebody knew your thoughts, would you be commended for thinking those things? Gee, this is not in your notes. Don't know why I didn't put them there, but there's two more. Whatever is excellent, and this is a value statement. Is this a valuable thought? Or is it a worthless thought? Is this going to add value to my life? Or is this thought going to keep me spiraling down into a depression or into a negative attitude or into a bad, dark place? You know, David said, I will not set before my eyes anything that is worthless. You know, I don't want to think about worthless things. I want to think about excellent things. And then finally, is this praiseworthy? Would this thought invoke praise to God? Would people praise God because of this thought? See, these are some practical ways that we can think, that we can take our thoughts captive and replace them with what God wants us to think about. But see, this is not just a practical message. We are talking about a spiritual battle here, a battle between good and evil, a battle that we don't see, but we feel the effects of, don't we? And so I want to conclude, and I want to give you a couple words of encouragement. Somebody I love a lot struggles with this. And it's really hard. It's really hard for me. And I don't know if you've had people that have been trapped, you know, trapped in their own mind and trying to deal with these thoughts and these feelings, and they feel like they're all alone. Like nobody would think like this. And I just want to encourage you by saying, we're not going to win every battle. You know, you're thinking, well, that's not encouragement. But the reason I say that is because we all sin. And there are times when we're going to lose some battles. You know, I struggle with it. My thought life sometimes, Pastor Kent does, Billy Graham does. We're all pretty much there on the same plane. I'm just kidding. But see, the great thing is that as you begin to learn about the armor of God and you begin to go through these struggles, the victories become greater in multitude and the defeats become less and less. You know, even Paul the Apostle struggled with this. And he says this in Romans chapter 7. He says, so I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Let me tell you, this is what he says. Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ will and can deliver you. And maybe you're here this morning and you've never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and you've struggled with these things, the power is in Jesus Christ, and he wants to have a relationship with you. Now, for the person that's already a Christian, I want to give you this encouragement. Did you know that God gave us the capacity to choose? Now, he has to give us the strength, and we're going to learn all about that. But we have the capacity to choose. In fact, I just want to read some of these commands just from the verses that we read today. Be strong, put on, stand firm, take captive, do not conform, think about. Those are all commands that we're to choose to do, and it presupposes that we have the availability or the power to do those things. The power comes from the Spirit of Christ. But see, we won't have the power to do those things unless we put on the armor of God that is available through Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to be learning about in the next few weeks. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, I'm grateful, Lord, and for the privilege and even the responsibility to speak on such a subject matter. I know that there's a lot of hurting people, God. But Lord, I also know that there is victory in Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that there's people in here that have been struggling with this for 15, 20 years. And sometimes they feel like there's no end in sight. But Father, you healed that woman after 18 years of infirmity. And you can heal us with your power at any moment. And so, Father, I pray, God, that you will break the chains off of our hearts and off of our minds. Lord, that we would be able to learn to stand firm. And that we would be able to defeat the enemy, Lord, in our thought life and in our lives in general. And then, Father, finally, I want to pray for the person that has never met you. The person that you desperately want to have a relationship with, but for some reason or another didn't believe. But I pray that today would be the day of their salvation. Today would be the day that they realize that there's a war being waged for their soul, and they want you to deliver them from that. And so, Father, we love you, and we want to leave here not with a depressed, a dark attitude, but with a joyful, encouraged attitude, knowing that we can win and that ultimately we are victorious and more than conquerors through Jesus Christ.
You've been listening to guest speaker Brian Darrow speaking at Beach Cities Community Church. Located in Huntington Beach, California, Beach Cities Church has been helping people find Christ and grow spiritually, emotionally, and relationally since 1985. This is a listener-supported podcast. For information on supporting this ministry, or for more information on Pastor Kent Sparks and Beach Cities Church, log on to beachcities.org. Thanks for listening, and may God richly bless you.